May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love living in tension between opposing views or polarities. It's not a very comfortable place to be, but I find it enormously energizing. I love hearing different points of view, and I love trying to, in a way, synthesize different perspectives, to be in that middle place. The middle place is not a very popular place to be in our current nation, as it seems that people are running to either extremes politically. But it's a perfect place to be if you're an Episcopalian. Because Episcopalianism is all about the middle way. The via media, as they say, the via media between Catholicism and Protestantism. And I love the tension, the unresolved tension, and the way that we take the best from both to form our denomination. And there's another tension that runs between within our faith that I also value enormously. And it's the tension about the way we believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us into the future. It's a tension between scripture, reason, and tradition, as articulated back in the 17th century by Richard Hooker, the great founding theologian of our Episcopal faith in England. We believe that when we confront a new issue, a new challenge, whether it's the way we relate to other religions or whether women should be ordained or whatever it may be, we don't just run to the Bible. We don't just run to what the tradition and people have said in the past. We don't just think about, what do I think about this? But there's an interaction between these two things, or three things. We wonder, what does the scriptures teach us about an issue? Then what's the combined wisdom of 2,000 years of Christian thinking said about a particular issue? And then what does our own reason and the discoveries of our own age tell us about this issue? And I love the tension that exists between these three things. And this love I have of polarities really made me look at our scripture, our gospel reading today, in terms of polarities. You have, on the one hand, Mary taking this costly perfume and anointing Jesus' feet in an act of worship. 300 denarii. And I was interested to know, I wonder how much 300 denarii is in our money today. So, got on the internet. And from Matthew's gospel, we know that a daily laborer would be paid 1 denarii. So 300 denarii equals 300 days of work. And let's say you're a farm worker, and let's say you get paid minimum wage. And you work for, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours. So we're talking about $20,000. So, I mean, this is an enormous sum of money. This act of worship and adoration. Then on the other hand, you have Judas. And even though the scriptures tell us he doesn't really care about the poor, he says, why wasn't this money spent on the poor? And there's part of us that kind of like, we think, yeah, why wasn't that money spent on the poor? But this polarity, this either-or, worship versus helping the poor, has been a tension that has existed within the Christian church from its very beginning. This tension, this either-or tension. I've met a clergyman who once said, we should not be in the business of serving the poor at all. The church should be about worshiping God and the wonderful things that God has done for us in Christ. His death on the cross and his promise of salvation to us. That's what the job of the church is. For I've heard other people say to me, all this worship nonsense, it's just ephemeral stuff. What we really need to be doing if we follow Jesus is we need to be focusing 100% on serving the poor. Either or. But of course, as the person who likes the middle way, I reject completely the either or. It's a both and. And I think that if we look at our gospel, we see that our gospel is talking about a both and. And if we look at Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, we see a both and. In this particular Gospel reading, we hear Jesus commending Mary for her focus on worship. The setting is 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before Jesus' death. We've just had the raising of Lazarus, and somehow Mary has this sense that Jesus' death is coming. Her hair is down, which in Jewish times is a sign of mourning. Women wore their hair up, and so the fact that her hair was down was a sign that she was already in anticipatory mourning for Jesus' death. When a person dies in the Jewish tradition of Jesus' time, their feet were anointed. So Mary takes the perfume to anoint Jesus' feet as a sign of anticipating his death. It's a sign of worship because she understands what God is doing and will be doing for us in Christ's death on the cross. The sign of God's love for us, the sign of God's salvation for us. And it is, he says, completely appropriate at that moment to be doing that. But later on, in Matthew's Gospel, after the resurrection, Jesus talks to his disciples about how they were to show their love for him, how they could show their thanks and adoration for him. And the story he tells them is this: when you feed someone who is poor and hungry, you are feeding me. When you clothe someone who is naked, you are clothing me. When you visit someone in prison, you are visiting me. When you give someone who is thirsty a drink, you are giving that drink to me. When you do these things, you are showing your love and adoration for me. Is it either or? I think not. It's both and. And this was really brought home to me recently on my trip to England a few weeks ago. I visited a couple of cathedrals, one Winchester Cathedral and the other one Southwark Cathedral. Southwark is in London, south of the river. It's near where the Globe Theatre is, for any of you who've been there. And it's a cathedral where I was ordained priest. And they also have the John Harvard Chapel, because John Harvard of Harvard University, he was baptized in this church. And when I was there, I was with my sister, who she does work at the cathedral, and I was in that John Harvard Chapel for a midday Eucharist, and I thought of all of you, and thought about this church, and how many of you are Harvard graduates, and our link with that. But anyway, back to the point. Both of these cathedrals are, in particular Winchester, are just unbelievably beautiful and awe-inspiring places. And you have the sense that people have been there to worship God for 1,000 years. People have been going, Episcopalians, Anglicans have been going there to worship God. But when you read about their histories, they tell another story as well. Not only are they places of worship, but they were centers of helping the poor. One of the things that both cathedrals talk about is how they founded hospitals. And these were the first hospitals. And they were places where the sick could be taken. They were places where of giving out of charity to the poor. So it wasn't worship or giving to the poor. It was both and. And one of London's most famous hospitals, St. Thomas's, which is just opposite the Houses of Parliament, find its origins in the hospital founded by Southwark Cathedral a little bit further down the river. And so for us, as we enter these last 2 weeks of Lent, as we reflect on our own discipleship of Jesus, one of the things for us to think about is the tension within our own lives that exists between worship and helping the poor. Have we got it right? Do we need to adjust where we are? Are we not focusing enough on worship, or are we focusing not enough on helping the poor? Because both things are about enriching our lives and serving God. Amen.